When Governor Lee called a special session of the state legislature that began this week, the idea was it would be meaningful work to try to deal with gun violence. That certainly has not happened yet, further illustrating just how difficult it is to find consensus on the issue. A local expert says, for that reason and others, it's up to each one of us to get involved and change the narrative. Dr. Mark Warnick is a lecturer at Tennessee Tech.
How did you get interested in the subject matter of public safety?
When I was younger, I was in the service. And when I got out of the service, I was trying to decide what to do. And public safety seemed like it. It just matched up with my service.
What is it about it that appeals to you?
I'm an adrenaline junkie. I can say no more. You go from drinking a glass of tea 1 minute, and the next minute you are wide open, heading to a fire or a heart attack or a man with a gun. And that is, while it's hard on the body, and there's studies that have shown it, there's nothing like being there with someone in their worst moment and doing something to make it better.
And yet the worst moments have become, in the last 24 years, worse than I think anyone in public safety could have imagined.
To a certain extent. This is a progression that we've seen coming, and it has gradually gotten worse because there are people out there that don't do what's right. Plain and simple. And part of that is, part of that is if someone says that they're going to shoot up a place, you shouldn't ignore that. Even if it sounds like they're joking, you should report that. If they're joking, guess what? They're going to find that it's not a problem. But if they aren't, then we can put them on a mental health hold and see what's going on with them. Part of the problem that we've got is in the 70s, we started closing down mental institutions because they thought it was cruel and unusual punishment. And to a certain extent, it was. However, all those people that really need mental health are now on the streets, and we have no place to take them or put them, and psychologists and psychiatrists are hard to come by now. So what happens? They act out.
I had a prominent local law enforcement official tell me that that is the biggest problem in our society today, is there are just not places to help the mentally ill for long periods of time.
Correct. And not even long periods, but short periods as well. We have an issue where if we find someone that is exhibiting problems, we can take them to the hospital, but where do they go from there? There's no place, mostly. They're few and far, unless they're found criminally insane. And we don't want it to get to that point.
It was unimaginable that you would think we have to protect schools at the level we have to protect them. Why are we dealing with that now?
I think that we as parents have started to fail in how to raise our children. We want them to be our friends. We don't want to be their parents. That's part of the problem. Another part of the problem is that we have parents that don't secure their weapons. I'm sorry, when my son was 17, he didn't have access to my firearms. Same thing at 19. The only one that has access to my firearms are me and my wife. If they wanted to go hunting or whatever, one of us would go with them, or, we would make sure that it was done responsibly. We can't have that access available for someone that doesn't reach their mental maturity until their 20s. And that's part of the problem. There's a lack of mental maturity in most of these people that are doing this. And there's also normally mental illness. So, you know, we need to recognize and prevent, not react. Part of recognizing is, are they torturing animals? Are they using drugs and alcohol? Do they come from a broken home? Are they abused at home or neglected? Even something as light as, are they on psychotropic drugs? Because 11% of those that are on psychotropic drugs actually become more violent. So we need to recognize these signs. And that's why I put the class together of preventing an active shooter, surviving an active shooter, I should say. And we teach them what to look for. We teach them about situational awareness. Be aware of what's going on around you. Don't have your head in the phone. We teach them how to understand the mentality of people that want to do harm, how to report it. If an incident happens, what law enforcement's going to do, what fire is going to do, what EMS is going to do. We teach them how to do emergency medical and the basics, you know, stop the bleed kit. It's mandatory in my class that they purchase a stop the bleed kit, because we don't just want them to have the knowledge. We want them to have the ability to save a life if they're involved.
Dr. Mark Warnick is our guest. We're talking about public safety and the prevention of mass violence. Dr. Mark Warnick is our guest. He is a new lecturer at Tennessee Tech, has a book coming out. We'll talk more about that as we continue. You mentioned before the break about the mentality of someone that causes harm. Obviously, a lot of different people get involved in this, but are there some generalities of what their mentality is?
Well, I call it the woe is me theory. They think that everyone is out to get them. They feel that everyone is picking on them. Things are everyone else's fault but theirs. And this is the kind of stuff that we need to be aware of and looking at. And, you know, we're fortunate, and one of my students recently took this class. He was in Atlanta with his friends, and he saw some signs that bothered him. He and his friends out of there. An hour later, there was a shooting. So these principles work. We have to teach those to the general public. The general public has to be vigilant in trying to stop mass violence, and that's the only way we're going to stop it. Now, everyone wants to watch the television when an incident happens. The problem with that is it creates the contagion effect. And what the contagion effect is when someone sees it and they had it in the back of their mind, then it brings it to the forefront, and then they want to be the next one to be the most famous. The vast majority of mass shootings are suicides. They are either wanting to be killed by the law enforcement officers, or they're going to kill themselves, but they don't want to go out without being recognized.
So that is a real effect, that some would call it a copycat effect.
Yes. It's actually the contagion effect. This was actually recognized in the 70s when movie stars or music stars would commit suicide, the more they talked about it, the more suicides would go up in the country. So it's a proven fact.
The elephant in the room, guns. What role does that play?
I am probably going to catch some flack for this, but I can put a gun in that corner over there and leave it there, and it's never going to shoot anyone. It's when we put guns in the hands of those that shouldn't have them, and we don't put them there, they find ways around our laws to get them. Quite frankly, there's ways to prevent that, and I talk about it in my book. If you have someone that you've never seen before that comes into your gun store and they want to buy an AR-15, a Glock, the AR-12 gauge lookalike, that's when the store owner can say, "So, do you have any other weapons?" And if they say yes, what do you have? Let's say they bring out, "Oh, I have a Ruger 10/22. Well, that's a semi-automatic weapon. You can look at him and say, "So what do you think about that bolt action?" And if he says, "I love it," then you know something's wrong. If he says, "That's not a bolt action, that's semi-automatic." But there's little things like that you can do to catch these people. And another thing that most people don't realize, FFL dealers, they have the right to refuse to sell a firearm to anyone for any reason. So if this guy's trying to buy a firearm and you recognize that he's not portraying himself as he really is, then he can go ahead and take all the information, then turn it over to law enforcement. Just prevented another one.
It was scary with the Nashville shooting, which hit all of us, I think, very hard. When you saw the number of weapons and the rounds that this person had brought together.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Just unbelievable.
Well, and, you know, at what point do we say, wasn't the family watching? You know, if you know that your child has a mental health issue or might have a mental health issue, you need to be watching them, especially if they're in your own home. In Oregon, there's the case of the grandmother that turned her grandson in and prevented a mass shooting. He had the manifesto and everything, and she stopped it by making that phone call. That's the responsibility that parents and grandparents and the general public should have right now.
Our conversation continues with Tennessee Tech lecturer Dr. Mark Warnick. He is an expert in the area of public safety. Is the answer more about each one of us than looking at the government to come up with regulations?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I say in the book is, you know, law enforcement can't be everywhere and know everything. We have a community. We need to be a community. We need to be out there. And when we see something strange, we either need to talk with our neighbor about it or we need to call law enforcement about it. Because no agency can be everywhere. Unless they're invading your privacy. You want your privacy? Help stop mass violence.
Second book about to come out. What's the title?
Preventing Mass Violence, A Whole Community Approach.
How did the book come about?
I have been researching mass violence, probably since 2006. Every time an act of mass violence happens, I always saw afterwards people saying, "Well, he was strange. He did this. He portrayed this. he used to blame everyone. And that is when I started saying, how come everyone's saying this afterwards and we're not doing anything about it beforehand? The idea is not to respond. The idea is to prevent. So in this book, I talk about historically, chapter two is history of mass violence and familicide and terrorism, all the way back to the 1700s. Then we go through what the job of law enforcement should be, and we move on from there and talk about how emergency management agencies and community centers need to go ahead and start teaching people, get experts. You know, military experts can tell you a lot. They're generally free. You have law enforcement that can tell you, teach you a lot. You have fire and EMS that can teach you medical. Why aren't we doing this? And why aren't we being very proactive? Instead, we want to go hide in a corner and cry about it. And that time should be over. We should be moving forward and preventing these mass shootings, whether it's at a school, at a workplace, wherever.